In the book of Numbers, one of my favorite parts, because I just love the visual of this, if you think about the Israelites, as they have already left Egypt, and they know that there is a promised land. So first of all, they know that God has delivered them from the bondage of Egypt, which is in itself. How awesome is it? How great is that day when you realize your deliverance from something? How great is that day when you realize, you know, your mortgage is paid off and there's freedom from that? What a great day that is. How great is the day that your car, you make your last car payment? That is liberty. It's freeing. How great is it the day that you find out that, you know, whatever sickness you were battling with, you know, the doctor says, hey, it is taken care of. You are healed. That is no longer an issue for you. Those moments of deliverance, those are great days. So think about that great day that the Israelites had as they left Egypt and they had that freedom and that bondage. Now, since then, they have seen where Egypt has come back and tried to recapture them. And yet they saw God's mighty hand of deliverance as they crossed the Red Sea. They've seen God provide supernaturally. He provided manna when they had nothing to eat. He turned bitter waters into fresh waters for them to drink when there was nothing for them to drink. His hand has been there. He provided meat with quail. His hand has been there all this time as they've been through, going through this wilderness time. And then God instructed them to build the tabernacle. And so they have the whole tabernacle put together. And God gave very specific instructions on the tabernacle. And as the tabernacle is moving, and they are moving towards the promised land, we read in Numbers chapter 9, when you look at Numbers chapter 9, it gives us a really good indication of what the daily life would look like. I mean, now picture, you have the tabernacle set up, and then you have each of the tribes set up in their camps all around. You have some to the north, some to the east, some to the south, and some to the west. And you have the Levites, and you have those who are in charge of different elements of when they do move the tabernacle. So that's all set up. And now you see all that. And we're talking upwards of, about a million people probably. There's a lot of people surrounding this. And this is what it says in Numbers chapter 9. In verse number 16. Let's go back to verse number 15. And on the day the tabernacle was erected, the cloud of God's presence covered the tabernacle, that is, the tent of testimony. And at evening, it was over the tabernacle, having the appearance of a pillar of fire until morning. So you see that here, over the tabernacle, is this cloud. It's the cloud of God's presence. And the cloud of God's presence covers the tabernacle, that tent, the tent of meeting place. And in the evening, the tabernacle is covered by the appearance of the presence of God as a pillar of fire all night long until the morning. And then in verse number 16. So it is always the cloud covered up by day and the appearance of fire by night. So just get a picture of that. So here is this upwards of a million people. They now have the tabernacle erected. They know that God has provided for them supernaturally. They've experienced that amazing day of deliverance. They've seen God's hand to meet their needs supernaturally. They know that God has told them that there is a promised land that I've prepared for you, and I'm leading you to the promised land. And then he told them to erect the tabernacle, the place of meeting where God could meet with men. This has been done, and he's given specific assignments. And so everybody in Israel knows how they are to assemble themselves in camps around the tabernacle. And then we see that this is as the tabernacle is erected, all of a sudden the cloud of the presence of God appears over top and covering the tabernacle. How awe-inspiring would that be? And then at night, all of a sudden that cloud of the presence of God turns to a fire that is over and covering the tabernacle from nighttime until the sunlight, all through the night. And so it was that the cloud covered it by day, and the appearance of fire by night. Whenever the cloud was taken up from the tabernacle, after that the children of Israel would journey. So they're all camped around the tabernacle. And then the Spirit of God would lift up its presence, his presence would lift up off the tabernacle and would journey, would move in a certain direction. And as the Spirit of God would lift over the tabernacle, the people would start to get ready because they know it's time to leave that place where they were camped and go another step closer towards the promised land. And where the cloud of the presence of God would go, that is where they would go. So whenever the cloud was taken up from above the tabernacle, after that the children of Israel would journey. And in the place where the cloud settled, there the children of Israel would pitch their tents. Where the cloud goes, they go. When the cloud stays, they stay. At the command of the Lord, the children of Israel would journey. And at the command of the Lord, they would camp. As long as the cloud stayed above the tabernacle, they remained encamped. Even when the cloud continued long, many days, above the tabernacle, the children of Israel kept the charge of the Lord and did not journey. So if the cloud of the presence of God stayed above the tabernacle for days or weeks or months, that's how long the people would stay encamped at that one location. What an awe-inspiring sight that had to be. Seeing the presence of God. And seeing the presence of God where? Hovering over the meeting, the tent of meeting. Hovering over the tabernacle and actually covering the tabernacle. Every day Israel could see the presence of God and see if the presence of God was getting ready for them to move or if they were to stay. And if they were to stay, remember, this is the wilderness by definition. It's wild. There's not a lot of, it's wilderness. And if you go to that region, you can see it is arid, dry, not a lot of food, and there's certainly not a lot of water either. Now, we know that God's been providing the manna, but God has to also provide water for, again, upwards of a million people and all of their livestock and all the animals that are with them. And yet God does. And if God has them there for a month, God provides for them all that they need. That's a great image. And then when you stop and think about how awesome that is, and you think, wow, wouldn't that be great if I knew how to do my day, live my day, because I could just look and see where God was leading? I could just look and see where he's going, and that's where I would go. And if he stays, if the presence of God just stays, I know I just sit right here, and God's going to take care of my needs. We think how awesome that would be. You know what? The Israelites didn't think it was so awesome after a while. And my hunch is that you and I would, of the flesh, have the same frustrations. Let's get to where we're going. But as great as we can picture that, and as great as that image appears in our minds as we think about that, and wow, how awesome to see God, and I know I move when God moves, I know that's when I move, you know, that'd be great to live that way. Well, the truth of the matter is, they got to see the presence of God, and they knew when the presence of God moved. But how much better is the opportunity that we have, because the opportunity that we have is to actually hear the presence of God, the Spirit of God, dwells within us. At the moment of our salvation, at the moment that we accepted the sacrificial work of Jesus Christ, at the moment you accepted Jesus and he became the Lord of your life, at that moment, your spirit was transformed from death to life. Because now the Holy Spirit dwells in your spirit, made your spirit, which had been dead to sin, now alive in Christ. And indwelled by the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God is in you. And if you listen to what Jesus said as he talked to the disciples in John chapter 10, he said that he was the good shepherd. And the shepherd leads his sheep into the day. And Jesus said that he's the good shepherd and the sheep. He speaks to the sheep and the sheep know his voice and the sheep recognize his voice and the sheep follow. That was all Jesus letting us know that this is how, for you and I today, with the victory of Jesus Christ, this is how it is. Because we have the Holy Spirit to guide us and to direct us. We have the Holy Spirit who speaks to us daily. In the same way that Jesus said, I, the good shepherd, will lead you into the day. Jesus has a plan for your day. And he will lead you into the day. In the same way we saw the cloud, and when the cloud moved, that's when all of Israel moved. And where the cloud moved, that's where they went. You have Jesus as the good shepherd who is leading you into today. And he has a plan for your day. And we talk about the Israelites being in the wilderness here. And so they supernaturally had to have food and water provided for them by God. Well, as the illustration that Jesus gives of the good shepherd, part of that illustration is he leads them to good waters. He leads them to places. He leads them to green fields. He leads them to where water is. He's leading them and meeting their needs in the same way. You know, under the old covenant, God was leading them through the wilderness. He provided for them. There's not lush greenery. He's providing for them, but it's not lush greenery. Jesus, the good shepherd, leads you today and every day. If I'll listen and follow, he leads us into that place of plenty, into that place of green, where it is lush and green, and you can graze all day. He provides all of your needs for you. He leads you into the day. The Israelites could watch the presence, the cloud of the presence of God. You have the Spirit of God inside of you, and He is speaking to you. Jesus said, "The sheep hear my voice, and they know me, and they follow me." And you may say to yourself, "I've never heard the leading of the Holy Spirit." Well, let me encourage you with this. Jesus wouldn't say that if He didn't design us in that new creation. You know, it says that when we became born-again believers, it says that we are new creations in Jesus Christ. Part of that new creation, if you're a new creation, part of that creation is He created you as a new creation with the ability to hear His voice. You are created. Now, you may say, I haven't heard. I don't recognize His voice. Okay, I understand that. Because we've all been there. Every single one of us can understand that and relate to it. But if you feel that way, the first thing to understand is no one believed this. He's created you as a new creation. He has created you by design as that new creation with the ability to hear His voice. So you have the ability and you can. Now, if you believe that, because this is promise, you should. If you'll believe that, then you will know that I can hear His voice. And if you listen, if you will take the time today and listen to His voice, you'll hear Him speaking to you. And every day that you learn to hear His voice, it becomes easier and easier to get the world and all the noise of the world out of the way, so it's easy and clear to hear that still small voice of Jesus Christ. Oh, it takes, you do have to learn to discern it and hear it. And it is that still small voice. Now, sometimes that still small voice, as you train yourself, can become loud and clear. But it's still a still small voice. So you must still be able, you must still make sure that you are getting all of the sundry noise, all the corollary noise of this life, all the noise that comes with everything else in this life. You have to learn to get that out of the way so it is not interrupting, it's not impeding, it's not distracting you. That the noise is not distracting you away from the voice of God. If you will do that, if you will train yourself, and today, if you'll believe that you can hear the voice of God, and if you will, in believing that, if you will listen, remove yourself from the noise and just sit quietly and listen. And you'll say to yourself, well, that's just my, all of a sudden things will come in your mind. You'll think, well, that's just me. I'm just thinking those thoughts. Well, it is coming from your mind because this is the way it works. Your spirit, soul, and body. So your spirit, the Holy Spirit, dwells in your spirit. And the Holy Spirit in your spirit speaks to you. And so it is in your spirit that the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. And then your spirit, that spirit part of who you are, is speaking to your soul or your mind or your thoughts. And so it is going to sound like your thoughts because it is the Spirit of God Himself speaking into your spirit, and your spirit is speaking to your soul. So how do I know that it's the voice of God? How do I know it's the shepherd leading, not just my own thoughts? But let me just ask you this first. How many times have you in life, you know, something happened, and you said to yourself afterwards, I knew better. You know what? I knew better than that. I knew I was not supposed to do that. Why? I knew better than that. See, that's a good sign that you had heard from the Holy Spirit. You knew what to do, and yet you did it anyway. Now, if you can learn to recognize that voice the next time, that you won't dismiss it, this is how you learn to hear and recognize the voice of the Lord speaking to you. If you feel the Lord saying something to you, even if you think, oh, I'm just being silly, that's just me. Whatever that thought is that comes into your mind, you know, if you feel the Lord's telling you to, whatever He tells you to do, to go to a certain place and do a certain thing, whatever He tells you to do, do it. Just do it. If you feel silly doing it, just do it. But when you see that you do it and you can see that it was God's call, all of a sudden, the next time, it is really easy. See, the problem is most of us don't move on those things that we hear the Lord saying to us. We don't act upon it because we think it's us and we don't think it's Him. So we never move upon it. And then we never learn to recognize His voice. We can picture the Israelites in the wilderness. And we can think how awesome that must have been for them to be able to have the ability to see the presence of God. And when the presence, the cloud moves, they would move and follow. When it stops, they would stop. Listen, they were not satisfied with that. We'll see that tomorrow. They weren't satisfied with that as time went by, and you and I wouldn't either. And there's no need for that because you and I have a better. We have not just the ability to watch and see the presence of God, you have the presence of God dwelling within you and speaking to you, to lead you into your day, to lead you into all you need. In the same way that God cared for all the Israelites there in the wilderness, He's going to care for you and provide for you today as the Good Shepherd leads you into your day